series that we're in now, we're calling Living in the Challenges of Life. All of us face challenges in our lives, and sometimes those challenges drag us down and stomp on us, and we wonder what's going on in life. So here are two questions that I want to ask you to start with this morning. The first is, has life thrown any challenges at you this past week? And the second is, how did you handle them? Now, if you're like most people, especially with that second part of the question, you probably handle them partly good and partly not so good. We often handle the challenges we face like that. We do some things well and we mess up on other things. I want to share with you something that we posted on our church Facebook site this week, just in case you didn't see it, because I think it answers part of the question for us. Why am I going through challenges in life? George Mueller was an Englishman who took in hundreds and hundreds of orphans and never asked anyone to give him a dime. Every time he had need, he prayed. He was known as a man of great prayer. He said this, "God delights in increasing the faith of his children. We ought, instead of wanting no trials before victory, no exercise for patience, to be willing to take them from God's hands as a means. Trials, obstacles, difficulties, and sometimes defeats are the very food of faith." I want you to think about that for a moment. The challenges that you go through in life as a Christian can be the very food of faith. Challenges are directly related to our faith. They can either feed your faith or they can destroy your faith. I think the idea, as Peter wrote in the book of 1 Peter, and that's where we are in our study today, I think the idea, as Peter wrote to these Christians who are facing so many kinds of trials, is simply that these trials can feed your faith. Today we're moving into a new section of 1 Peter, and that's in chapter 3, and I'd like you to turn there in your Bibles. If you're using a Pew Bible today, you'll find it on page 815. We're calling this chapter, How to Live, Here's How to Live. Because we need to know how to live in this life. Now, Peter in chapter 3 is going to talk about three areas of life where we often face challenges. The first is the family. The second is the church. And the third is the world. Those are broad areas, but those three areas encompass everything about our lives. They are the areas in which we operate. They are the areas in which we live. I want you to learn today that every area of life has different requirements, will demand different things of you. There are different ways to live in each of those three areas. How you live in the church is going to be different in some way from how you live in the family and how you live in the world. And what I hope that you will do as we study chapter 3 is that you will live the right way in each area. Live the way God wants you to live. He wants you to live a certain way in the family. He wants you to live a certain way in the church. He wants you to live a certain way in the world. Now, today we're going to look at the first area. We're going to look at the family, especially the husband-wife relationship. I told you earlier, this is an area where angels fear to tread. Don't get upset with me. I'm not saying this. And then next Sunday, we'll look at the other two areas, the church and the world. Keep in mind the overall theme of 1 Peter, the scope of the book, is living in the challenges of life. How we are to handle challenges. All of the time. But today especially, how we're to handle them in the family and how we're to do the right thing. And so the first area that we want to look at is living in the family in 1 Peter chapter 3, beginning with verse 1 and going through verse 7. Follow with me as I read. Wives, likewise, be submissive, first red flag, to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, they without a word may be won by the conduct of their wives, when they observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear. Do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart, with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. For in this manner, in former times, the holy women who trusted in God also adorned themselves, being submissive to their own husbands, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are if you do good and are not afraid with any terror. Husbands, likewise, dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. There is a lot in these seven verses, and there is a lot that is controversial in these seven verses. And so I want you to stick with me this morning. We're dealing with some sensitive areas, especially in the broader culture in which we live today. People, men and women, do not like the idea of wives submitting to their husbands. That seems to be demeaning to women. But that is because we are looking at that concept from a 21st century perspective and not from a first century biblical perspective. The first thing that I want you to see in verses 1 through 6 is words to wives. And I want to give you three things to remember, and then we're going to look at verse 7 and give some words to husbands. And the first word to wives is the concept of submission. When the Bible talks about submission, it is talking about a very specific idea. And to understand that idea, let me tell you first of all what it does not mean for a wife to be submissive to her husband. Submission does not mean that the husband is a dictator over his wife and she must do whatever he says she has to do. Nowhere does the Bible teach that. The concept of the wife being submissive to the husband does not mean that the husband is smarter than the wife. Ladies, can I get a hallelujah? We all know that's not true. Being submissive to your husband does not mean that the wife is a slave to her husband. She is not. Being submissive to your husband does not mean that the husband can treat his wife any way that he wants to treat her. We will see that more clearly when we get to verse 7. Being submissive to your husband does not necessarily mean that you agree with everything your husband says. We're going to see that right here in verse 1, where the wife is a Christian and the husband is not. Guess what? They didn't agree on the most important thing in life. Being submissive to your husband does not mean in any way that you are less than your husband. A wife is not less intellectually. She is not less emotionally. You are not less in your abilities. And most of all, and this is vitally important, you are not less to God. Being submissive to your husband does not mean that you get your identity only from your husband. Can I tell you, ladies, as a Christian wife, you should get your identity, and as a Christian woman, you should get your identity, first of all, from the Lord Jesus Christ. But you will also have your own identity that you get from your employment, which you get in your family, which you get from people who know you and what you do. Being submissive to your husband does not mean that your only value comes from your husband. Another way of saying it is that you only have value because you're married to your husband. Your value is because of who you are in Jesus, in the sight of God. God values you, ladies, for who you are, regardless of who your husband is. Being submissive does not mean that you should live in fear of your husband. So what does it mean for a wife to be submissive to her husband? If you recall last Sunday in chapter 2, Peter talked about how we are to relate to government and how we are to relate in the workplace. His idea was that in those areas of life, there is to be order. It's an order that has been designed by God, and we are to live and we are to function in that order. In government, we are to submit to those who have the civil rule over us. And the only exception, as we saw from Acts chapter 2, is when they tell us to do something that's contrary to the Word of God. In the workplace, we are to submit to our employer as a slave submitted to their employer. The slave-master relationship throughout history has primarily been an economic relationship. If you don't bring economic gain to your master, you are no good as a slave. And if you as an employer do not benefit your employer, you are no good as an employee. And there is a certain order that your employer has put in place, a certain structure. And can I just be very blunt and tell you, if you can't live in that order and under that order, find a different job. That's your choice. Just find a different job. Find one where you can submit. Just like God has put an order in those areas, he says, wives, likewise. That's what the word likewise means. In the same way, God has put an order in the family. He has established the husband to be the head of the family. Let me just give you several verses of Scripture. Genesis chapter 3, to the woman he said, I will surely multiply your pain in childbirth. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he will rule over you. Ladies, if you don't like where God has put you in the family, you can blame Adam and Eve. They screwed it all up at the beginning. I teach on this at the Bible school in Haiti, so I've also come to the conclusion that if you and your spouse were the first Adam and Eve, you would have screwed it up too. If my wife and I were the first Adam and Eve, we would have screwed it up. So we can only blame Adam and Eve just a little bit. 1 Corinthians 11:3, but I want you to understand that the head of every man is Christ. The head of a wife is her husband, and the head of Christ is God. We don't have time to go into all these verses. That verse lays some heavy wood on us. The head of every man is Christ. That tells us something about how we are to be the head of our families, men. Ephesians chapter 5, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. Colossians 3:18, wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Ladies, I did not bring up these out of multiple verses that we could have used. I did not bring these up to humiliate you or to embarrass you. I simply want you to see that this teaching is found in more than one place in the Bible. It is consistently taught throughout Scripture that the husband is the head of the family. That is where God has placed him. And listen, he is responsible to God as the head of the family. And he is going to give an account to God how he functioned in the family and how he led his family and how he treated his family, both you and the children. That is a frightening perspective, that I will stand before God. Ladies, you will not stand before God and give an account of your family, but your husband will. But ladies, you also have a role in the family. Let me say two things. It's not the same role as your husband. It is as important as the role of your husband. And just like a business functions best when everyone does their job and stops trying to do everybody else's job, so the family functions best when we all fulfill our role and stop trying to fulfill everyone else's role. Unfortunately, there are times in some families when someone does not fulfill their role well, or someone dies and that role goes empty and someone else has to pick up the slack. And when that is the case, God understands, and he will give you grace to do what you need to do. But here in 1 Peter chapter 3, Peter is talking about the normal functioning family, the way God designed it. Now, Genesis chapter 2 gives us some idea of the role of the wife in the family. And the Lord God said, "It is not good that man should be alone. I will make a helper comparable to him." That word comparable means literally face to face. We stand face to face with each other. It means to aid someone, to assist someone, to support someone. And just in case you think that sounds like your wife should be your servant, it doesn't mean that. This very same word is used 15 times in the Old Testament of God. Let me give you just four of them. In Deuteronomy chapter 33, "Happy are you, O Israel, who is like you, a people saved by the Lord, the shield and your help, and the sword of your majesty. Your enemies shall submit to you, and you shall tread down their high places." Psalm 33, "Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield." Psalm 121, "My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth." Psalm 146, "Happy is he who has the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God." That is who God is for us. He is our help. He is our shield. And that's who I want God to be for me. I want him to be the one who is there for me, to be the one who is my helper when I'm in trouble, the one who would be my shield when I need protection. I want the God who made the heaven and the earth in all of his power, in all of his majesty, in all of his glory, to be my help. And I'm happy that he's willing to be my help. And as the psalmist said, I'm going to put my hope in him. And men, that is exactly who our wives are. They are our help when we are in trouble. They are the one that we can lean on in our time of need, and they are the one who will be there for us when no one else is. And we should feel about our wives exactly the same way we feel about God. That was really some weak amens right there. The role of the Christian wife in the home is as important as the role of the husband. It is an enormous role. One of the best places where the role of the wife can be seen in the home is in Proverbs 31. Now, I know immediately when I say that, some of you are thinking, oh, that's the ideal woman. None of us can be that. In Proverbs 31, the writer of Proverbs describes a godly woman for us. And he says that she functions in many, many different ways in the family. She has many different roles. We just finished in adult Bible study a study of the book of Proverbs. And when we came to chapter 31 and went through that, we listed the characteristics of a godly woman, which relates to the roles that she plays in the family. Let me put them up for you. She is trustworthy. She is resourceful. She is hardworking and diligent. She is concerned for her family. She is a woman of high moral character. She is wise and she is kind. She is aware and alert of things that would harm her family. Now, that is a lot for a wife to be and a lot for a wife to do. But it gives you an idea of how important she is in the family. The concept of submission of the wife means that she is fulfilling the role in the family that God gave her to fulfill. And it is a big role, and it is an important role, and I can't stress that enough. Ladies, do not feel demeaned because the Bible says you are to be submissive to your husband. You are helping him be what God has asked him to be, and he needs you, and without you, can I say this? He's probably going to fail. But with you, he can be what God wants him to be.